Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the sporty edition of the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. What a summer of sport we are having with the World Cup in Brazil, Wimbledon, the British Open Golf Championship, the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, the Ryder Cup in Scotland and Gleneagles. We'll all be glued to the television. We'll hardly get a breath of fresh air or a glimpse of sunlight all summer. This programme is for everyone, from hardened sports athletes to softened couch potato supporters. Sport's a big part of life these days, and this programme hopes to enrich you with lessons from a variety of sports. You won't find any other programme on radio or television quite like this one. It is Sports Coaching for Life, lessons from various sports which will enrich our whole lives. I'll explain more in a moment. But to get us in the sporty mood, here is some sporty music.
We'll be right back.
I'm sure you recognised all the tunes, but can you name them? They were from Grandstand, Test Cricket and Ski Sunday. So let's get down to some serious sports coaching. Take cycling, for instance. Now here's a thought. All the top cyclists in the world are about equal. All the top bicycles in the world are about equal. So when they're going downhill or on the flat, they're all much the same. It's when they're going on the uphill sections that the champions begin to shine out. It's the same in life. When things are downhill or flat or easy, we're all much the hero. But the real heroes stand out when things go uphill.
It's a thing we can't deny, like the fact that I will love you till I die. We are 12 billion light years from the edge. That's a guess. No one can ever say it's true, but I know that I will always be with you. I'm warm by the fire of your love every day. So don't call me a liar, just believe everything that I say. There are 6 billion people in the world, more or less, and it makes me feel quite small, but you're the one I love. Most of all, of the love that you give me every night. There are 9 million bicycles in Beijing. That's a fact. It's a thing we can't deny, like the fact that I will love you till I die. And there are 9 million bicycles. And you know that I will love you till I die.
Another sport which can teach us much about life is sailing. I'm thinking about beautiful white yachts with the sails billowing, skimming across the glistening water. My granny used to be in a yacht club. She kept advising me, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. Just a wee joke. But think about this. When sailing a yacht, there are three basic situations, which are so like life in general. You can either have the wind behind you, or you can be sailing into an adverse wind and having to be tacking, zigzagging right and left, or you can be becalmed. Such is life. We're either making great progress with the wind at our back and there's a danger of overwork, or we're facing opposition and adversity and making heavy weather of it and in danger of grinding to a halt, or we're becalmed, neither supported nor opposed, just stuck in a sea of apathy. Even in adversity, we can make some headway. Persecution or apathy, which is the worst? It's hard to say, maybe. Just remember, have your sails hoisted so that you are ready when the wind comes. Don't curse the headwinds of life, use them. like Christabel.
Watching all the ships as they are heading for the harbor. I was just a boy. I was just a boy. Dreaming of the wide world. Dreaming of the wide world. Watching as they disappear. Reading out the names of all the places I have never been. Looking out to sea. Staring out to sea. Dreaming of a wide world. Dreaming of the wide world.
So we've thought about cycling and sailing, and now, you've guessed it, snooker. There are two great lessons in life from snooker. One is the ability to relax under pressure. I'm always amazed at the top snooker players, how they can play in the Crucible with a live audience, a television audience, playing for mega bucks, and they're under pressure in the game, and yet they can force themselves to relax. Because if they don't, they'll tighten their grip and their cueing action will go squint. The other thing we learn from snooker is the ability to let go of the last bad frame. They've just lost a frame, they made a stupid mistake, they're kicking themselves. But if they carry that over into the next frame, they'll be losing two frames out of it. So they've the ability to take one frame at a time and switch off from the mistake of the previous one. Two wonderful lessons for life, is it not? Now, here's a puzzle for you. Which sport begins by jacking it in? And which sport rewards biased judgment? Yes, you've guessed it, bowling. On one previous Holy Half Hour, we had a programme on blind bowling. We had Billy and Irene Edgar from Saltcoats, who are the Scottish blind bowling champions. Indeed, British blind bowling champions. They've been all over the world playing their blind bowls. It's an amazing thing, is it not? Let me read to you this classic reading. To all those of you who think that you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, let me say this. Once upon a time, there was a man who claimed that he was a bowler. But when the local bowling club staged a competition from time to time, he never won it. In fact, he never entered it. He used to say, you don't have to win competitions to call yourself a bowler. You don't even have to enter competitions to call yourself a bowler. And even when ordinary club members on ordinary days went out to play their rinks of bowls together, he never played with them. He used to say, "You don't have to play your bowls with other people to be a bowler. You can play bowls by yourself any time." However, the fact was that he never did play bowls even on his own. He used to say, "You don't have to go up and down a bowling green to be a bowler. You can be a bowler sitting at home watching the bowls on TV." Being a bowler is a mindset. It's in your blood. It's a way of life. It doesn't mean always having to chuck bowls up a rink or mixing with other bowlers, who can sometimes be a bunch of hypocrites when it comes to measuring bowls. Other than all that, he was a real bowler. Well, at least he thought he was. But real bowlers play bowls. Real Christians worship privately and publicly.
Why don't you come one afternoon to the bowling club? Lawn bowling is for anyone who likes to have some fun. We'll have a game, a friendly game, ladies and gentlemen. Lawn bowling is a lot of fun. It rejuvenates your heart. It makes you feel you're like a champ right from the very start. Ladies and gents, let's concentrate. Just draw around the jack. Building the head, 9 out of 10 will help you win the end.
Here's a few quick sporting lessons. Take badminton, for example. It's played at such a speed you don't have time to think about it. You have to play on instinct. And by practicing a lot, you train your instincts. Well, such is life, is it not? Or take table tennis. Table tennis bats always used to have dimples on them. But one day in the mass production process, they made a mistake and they came out the wrong way round. So the dimples were on the inside and it was smooth on the outside. They were about to throw the bats into the bucket when someone said, "Well, why don't we try them out and see if they're any good?" They immediately discovered that they were better than the dimpled surfaces. So from now on, they had decided we're going to make all table tennis bats smooth surfaced. So mistakes in life appear to be mistakes in life. Sometimes they can be woven round, made into a great advantage. The Bible says all things work together for good to those who love God. Or take swimming. I like the story of the wee boy who entered the school swimming competition. He was obviously very excited, but looking kind of worried. So his dad said to him, "What's wrong, son?" He said, "Well, Dad, there's quite a lot of big boys in the race, and I might not win it. Will you still love me if I don't win?" "Of course, son. I'll tell you now before you start. I love you now. I love you win, lose, or draw." And I also like the American football illustration. The most successful coach in American football never spoke to his teams about winning. He didn't speak much about the opponents either. He said to his teams, "Just concentrate on you improving. If you keep improving, sooner or later, one day, you've got to be the best in the world." And what about our own football? Soccer. I love football. I love match of the day. There's so much I could say about football. Let me just take one illustration from it. Near the end of a game, there's a player who has tired legs, and the manager sees that, and in mercy, he takes him off. And he goes in Not, he doesn't disappear. He goes into the grandstand to sit there and look at the rest of his team, because it's still his team, it's still what he's been working for, and he's got a vested interest in their performance. Near the end of our lives, God takes us off the pitch. We might go off the pitch, but we don't disappear altogether. We go into the grandstand from where we cheer on those left behind us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with determination the race set before us, or let us play the game with determination, always looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our manager, our coach, our captain." So here's Jerry and the Pacemakers singing the great football anthem, "You'll Never Walk Alone."
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the song, there's a golden sky, and a sweet silver song of love.
The climax of any Olympics is the athletics, especially the 100 metres and the relays. I'm sure it's how all sport began. Somebody looked at somebody else and said, "Let's see which of us can run the fastest." When it comes to athletics, there are a few lessons we can learn. Like, let's begin at the start. Well, that's the first lesson. It doesn't begin at the start. You've got to do a lot of training before you reach the starting line. Things are won and lost before you even turn up. If you haven't done the preparation, you won't get the results. That's true of exams and tests at school, is it not? It's true of everything in life. David Beckham used to be the player who went back in the afternoons to practice free kicks. The London Marathon winner, Paula Radcliffe, she won her first ever marathon, but that wasn't the first time she ran a long distance. She was running 130 miles every week for her training for the marathon. And then once you get to that start line, you have to go, as Linford Christie said, on the B of the bang of the gun, at the very beginning split second. You have to be focused, concentrated, tensed up, listening carefully, and then go. Be primed. Rangers has a motto, "Aye ready." In life, we've always to be ready to take our opportunities, ready to hear folks saying help, ready to sprint to their help, ready to do good and love and care. And then when you're running the race, you have to pace it. You mustn't go off too fast or you'll be tired by the end. Are you running a marathon or doing a sprint? It makes a big difference. In the mile race, or now the 1500 metre race, there's about four laps. But your fastest lap should be your last lap. You have to work up to it. In life, foes rush in and then they drop away. Wiser people start gently, get acclimatised to the pace, and get ever more sophisticated and fast at what they're doing. In longer races, we each have our own natural speed and rhythm. We have to go with that. It's much easier doing it that way, rather than just getting swept along by other people at their speed. And when we run, we have to have our own style. If it's in sprinting, it's high knees, arms working hard, long strides, eyes forward, and a dip at the finish. Whereas if it's the marathon, it's low knees, arms at a minimum movement, short strides, and efficiency, no gangling movements. Same in life, everything has its right way of doing it, whether it's playing the piano, swimming, studying, crafts or art. And then there's always tactics. In the sprint, it's a kind of simple tactic, get as fast as you can. In the 800 metres, or the two laps, there's a bit of cat and mouse comes into it. In the long distance races, some folk like to go out in front and wear down the others. Others like to stay in the pack and then sprint near the end. Some like to stay on the shoulder of the favourite and just keep up with them. But running involves thinking. You run with your head. In cross country, the best time to overtake is on the uphill sections. That's when the champions shine out, the tough guys. In life, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And then when it comes to the finish, we go for the line, we don't slow down as we cross, we burst through and dip down just to get that extra edge. We give it 100%, total commitment, we give it our all. We have to persevere and not give up. St. Paul, at the end of his life, looked back and said, "I have run the race, I have kept the faith." What a wonderful epitaph. So I hope you've enjoyed these lessons from all the various sports. Have fun with whatever sport you're involved in. But don't stay on that couch like a couch potato. Go and live a little. Have fun in the sports of life.